And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Boker Tov, good morning, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. How was your Rosh Hashanah?
It was full of food. A lot of food. I'm recovering from Rosh Hashanah.
So that's why we had a fast yesterday, from Gedalia.
Yes, from Gedalia, right.
You know, God has everything planned. You eat so much in Rosh Hashanah, then you can afford not to eat the next day, and everything falls into place.
He takes care of our metabolism.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we are approaching the holiest day of the year.
Yom Kippur. Now we're standing in the 10 days of between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which in these 10 days are phenomenal days, correct. The days that we can really, you know, focus, not necessarily focus on what we did in the past, but focus on what we're doing now, what we're going to do in the future, and how we can become a better person, and how we can make sure that God will seal and inscribe us in a good and healthy year. Now, the reason that we have Yom Kippur is that 40 days after the Jews received the Torah on Mount Sinai and committed to be God's chosen people, the children of Israel worshipped the golden calf. And Moses pleaded with God not to destroy his entire nation. And on the 10th of Tishrei, God said, I have forgiven. And that was the 10th day of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. And ever since then, we observe that day as a day of atonement. So the celebration of our indestructible relationship with God. And obviously that is the holiest day of the year when we reconnect our very essence and we remain faithful to God. Now there are a couple of customs that we do on Yom Kippur. For example, the day before Yom Kippur, we go and we do kafarot, where we either do it with money or we do it with a chicken. And we say that all the things that we were supposed to have and do, we should not be ours anymore, and we start Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on a clean plate, very, very clean. You know, obviously there's the five prayers of the Yom Kippur, the one that's famously known as the Kol Nidre.
Yeah.
And then you have the last prayer, the climax, or the Ne'ilah.
Ne'ilah, right.
And then, you know, we have the festive meal afterwards, which a lot of people don't know, but it's a very, very, very big mitzvah to eat a very festive meal after Yom Kippur, the big break of the fast, because we rejoice in confidence that God has forgiven our sins. And automatically, right after that, we start preparing and talking about the Sukkot, because we want to be able to know that from one holiday, we don't just say, okay, we finished one holiday, we're done, that's it. No,
yeah.
We finished one holiday, and immediately we start talking about the next holiday. How
that's,
are we going to
that's
build
Tishrei.
It?
That's Tishrei.
Correct. How are we going to build this? What are we going to use for the leaves, or how are we going to decorate it? It doesn't mean you have to go and build it, but it means that you should start talking about it. Now, a lot of people talk about the idea of Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days, Yom Kippur. It's all about repentance. It's all about feeling bad. And I want to talk about that for a second, because I think it's a very, very important concept where I think people are very taking it the wrong way, it's in a mixed up way. Repentance is a trap. And I'll explain what I mean. There was a time when people would spend every evening of the day before Yom Kippur, and they would be pondering their sins and their faults, and everything was wrong and bad and crummy. You know, their lives was terrible, and they would cry and sob from their hearts, and they would get up the next morning with a pure soul to serve their Maker. They often did this on other days of the year, and it worked pretty good. Nowadays, when someone ponders his failures, it's almost inevitably leads to depression. Because when you're pondering a past sin, a person starts asking himself, why did I do such a stupid thing? And he remembers how he felt at that time. It was good, it wasn't good. And even if, you know, he did it and he feels remorse, he regrets, but it was good, he wants to do more. So the question is what happened? You were just crying the night before and you were repenting. What happened? And quite simply, obviously, the darkness got thicker. Because when you're surrounded by light, it's okay to stick your nose in a few dark corners. Maybe you'll find, you know, something valuable you lost in there. But when you live in a world with light dim and all the blinds are pulled down, dark corners become black holes. And it's very hard to get pulled out. It's very hard to pull yourself out. And that's why repentance is very, very dangerous nowadays. You know, when someone calls me up and says, Rabbi, I messed up. How do I repent? I take it, I tell them, I say, repentance, you need to stay away from that. It's hazardous. But then you can imagine what the other person says on the phone. But Rabbi, what am I going to do about the sin that I messed up in my life? And I tell them, just start running towards the light. And obviously you can imagine what the other person on the line is saying. I'm going to go through a conversation. But I'll never do the repentance thing. Like it says, you know, in all the books about deep remorse,
yeah,
weeping over
your
sins.
Yeah.
My response is, right now, forget the remorse and the weeping. Just get past it. It's a trap. If your nasty, self-destructive fake inside you to trying to make it worse. No, Rabbi, no. I got to repent. And my response is, you don't want to repent. You want a replay. And what do I mean when I say a replay? When your mind experiences something pleasurable, it's programmed to go replay it again and again until it rewires and makes you do it again. That way, when the associated, stimulation turns up again by sight, by smell, by sound, whatever it is, your entire body is ready to take that plunge because it likes it so much. Now, you won't let your mind replay this particular mess up because you know it was real immoral, it was bad and crummy. So your mind, being just as smart as you are, since it's your mind, after all, comes up with a solution. And it says like this, I don't want to replay. I want to repent. Well, you don't. You want to replay. Nothing really to do with repenting. Because the person says, when I will rip away all the ugly stuff clinging to me, when will I rip away all the ugly stuff clinging to me because of this lousy thing I did? And I would answer them, do teshuvah instead. So the person comes back and tells you, that's what I said, I want to do. I want to do teshuvah. You said you want to do repentance. And I'm telling you, do teshuvah, which means return. Return towards the light from which your soul originally came. When you are running towards the light, filling your life with more wisdom, more understanding, more mitzvot, more joy, love, and beauty, and the light is getting brighter and brighter, and you want to reach out and talk directly and sincerely with your God, that's when it hits you that the crummy mess up from the past is holding you back. It's like a useless backpack weighing you down. Like a lump of clay in your heart. It's a wall between you and your true place of yourself. That's when the idea of remorse overcomes you. Just swelling up all on its own from the bottom of your heart. Because it wants you to have remorse, quote unquote. That's when you gotta scream, get off my back. Look behind for a second. Throw that junk away and fly ahead. that's when you repent. So during the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, there's a lot of light. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. We can't go wasting that away. Especially not going, spending the holiest time of the year dwelling on stupid things that we did. Instead, what we should do is reach towards the light. Feel the presence of the infinite God, the creator of everything, who wants us and awaits our return, who sits in shul with us. He holds our hand. He hopes with us. He cries with us. And as we return, what happens is we fall away and we never go back to what we're going to be doing again. Because you're never going to want to start again. Because you felt the embrace of his life.
Yeah.
And that's what Yom Kippur is about. Not repentance. Not to cry and be sad and then let it sink you even deeper and get depressed. But to return. Look at the life. How can I change my life to return back to God? And automatically, if you return back to God, you're not going to want to do the other thing. If you repent, so you repent for that day. But that doesn't change your way. You're not returning back to the Creator of the infinite God who has created you. And that's what Yom Kippur is about. And that's what the 10 days are about. And so we hope that through this process, that when it comes to 10 days and Yom Kippur, that the final time that we're going to blow the shofar on Ne'ilah, the last prayer, just before the end of the fast, that we're going to blow the shofar, that God is going to seal us. He's going to give us a healthy year. He's going to give us a happy year. He's going to give us a year of nachas from our kids, joy, and good health. You know, I talked about it on Rosh Hashanah. Someone has good health, you have everything. You can have money. God forbid someone's father is dying in the hospital. He could be the richest man. If there's nothing they can do, you can spend billions of dollars. The money's going to buy you nothing. Your money is nothing. If you have that health. You know, money, someone has an extra $10,000 he gets that month. What is it going to help him? It'll help him for another month or two. Big deal. But when you have kids, when you have health, it lasts you forever.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
And Rabbi, tell me about the services in Shaarei Tzedek, Shabbat and on Yom Kippur.
Shabbat, we're not davening, praying in the Shaarei Tzedek due to that we had a flood in the basement, there's construction, so we're using the Shaar HaShemayim facilities, the first floor, and we have service Friday evening, 7 o'clock, and Monday, and Shabbat, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and Yom Kippur evening, we're going to have Kol Nidre at 7 p.m., as well as evening service at 9, and Ne'ilah will be, I believe, at, if I remember correctly, I think about 6 o'clock.
Okay, and if someone wants to check, they can always go to your website, right?
Yep, they can go shaarei tzedek.windsor.com.
That's great.
So up there is the whole schedule, and you can see exactly what the holiday services is. And actually, I'm looking right on there now. Ne'ilah service is at 6:30 p.m.
Okay. So, Rabbi, I wanted to wish you, first of all, Shabbat Shalom, and then Chatima Tova.
You too, and you should have an easy fast, and we should all be inscribed in the Book of Life and the Book of Health.
That's... with God's help. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Thank you.